Albiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are enjoying us, please head over to Apple Podcasts and give us all the stars. This helps other people find us. Husband and wife Yusuf and Sumaya Omar grew up in the digital age, and their memories are marked by digital experiences, including games and social media. Together, they have traveled the world as mojos, mobile journalists, using nothing but their phones to record and tell important stories in places such as Syria and India. Now, through their company #OurStories, they've hit 27 countries in the past 4 months alone, helping people tell their stories and distribute them around the world via mobile technology and social media platforms. The Omars presented at Promax Games in San Francisco in April, and they will also appear on the Promax BDA stage in New York in June. Let's listen in.
Thank you so much for having us. Hasn't the world changed enormously since, at least since I was a child playing games? I mean, today we are wearing cameras on our faces. We can press that button and take videos automatically. Can we get the screen mirroring up? We can have mobile phones that's me as a baby, or at least how I was as a baby. We were doing N64. We had a cartridge that we had to blow into. We now download games. We have augmented reality, little baby versions of Yusuf on stage. He's so cute. But has the way that we market and the way that we sell games caught up with technology? Have we been able to keep up with that trajectory? I'm not sure. For me, the first time I remember having sex was on Sims.
That's really gross.
It's not that gross. Okay, that's not me. And that's definitely not the emoji I would use if I was having sex. The first job that I remember having, the first job was effectively managing a big theme park.
What?
And my memories of like learning about the Soviets and the Allies and the World Wars was Red Alert.
Mine was a little bit different. I guess I'm a little bit nerdier than Yusuf is. Do you guys remember this game?
Yeah. More importantly, does anybody know what these numbers mean?
Yusuf,
am I the only one?
Yeah, he just found out what the numbers mean yesterday. So, welcome.
For me, it was a giant guessing game. It was
crazy. Yeah, and I played a lot of Grand Theft Auto. I still play Sudoku, actually. And, I mean, you haven't lived if you haven't played Candy Crush, right?
I haven't played Candy Crush. So, those games were marketed to us in interesting ways. For me, I used to buy gaming magazines, and I used to flip through them like a porno. I loved it. And that's kind of weird. I also relied heavily on word of mouth. I mean, especially when gaming became online and we started moving to LAN, it was entirely based on my community, on what my friends were playing, what my friends were doing, what their interest was. It was entirely based on word of mouth. And the magazine has effectively become the website. The magazine's effectively become the website. And we don't really, at least my generation, it's not our primary point of contact necessarily to go to homepages and websites. But word of mouth is where it gets really interesting, because word of mouth has effectively become social media posts and social media commentary and likes and the way we share on many social media platforms.
Yeah, so how do we tap into these news feeds and these platforms? Let's take Facebook, for example, because Facebook, with 2 billion users, is one of the biggest platforms. It is the biggest platforms. And so we have to really look at what algorithms they're using, what the timeline is prioritizing. Right now, it's prioritizing two things. The first thing is affinity. How many of your friends and family on your Facebook timeline, your community of people, are talking, are commenting, are sharing the same sort of posts? The second thing is that they're prioritizing profiles over pages and friends over brands.
So what does this mean? Effectively, it means that if we're trying to have a hard direct sell on social media, it's not necessarily working. It doesn't matter how big your marketing budget is and you want to push video onto people's timelines. If people are not sharing videos, and even if we go a step further, if people are not creating videos and creating content about our gaming platforms, we may not be tapping into people's timelines, because the timeline is effectively prioritizing friends over pages and people over brands and organizations. And on a greater level, especially where I work in the news industry, people trust people. We've effectively seen a situation where people have lost trust with brands and institutions and organizations, and we trust our friends and what they share to be of truth, to be of substance. And our audience are effectively becoming our greatest content creators. We're reaching an atmosphere where some of the most viral video content around the games that we produce may very well be created by the audience and not by the publishing houses and not by the organizations that are creating videos.
So we've spoken a lot about a lot of things. So let us tell you who we are.
So myself, I'm a mojo, a mobile journalist, a jeans journalist, a selfie journalist. I've been doing this for the last 10 years. Everything I need to tell a story fits in my pocket. I shoot, edit, produce with a mobile device. I started this journey in 2010. I hitchhiked from South Africa to Syria, from Durban to Damascus, telling stories up East Africa. In 2012, I was in Congo when an ammunitions depot exploded. 2014, I was smuggled into Syria with a group of surgeons that were building a hospital in the province of Dadakush. And I've been for the last 9-10 years at CNN in London, at the Hindustan Times in India, at E! News Channel Africa in South Africa. I've been innovating in this idea of using mobile devices to tell stories on mobile devices.
Yeah, so while he's been kind of in front of the camera, I've been behind the camera. And Yusuf and I have done protests in South Africa. We've covered the pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. So we've done a lot of stuff with our phones. Last year, we started this company called #OurStories, and we train communities around the world to tell stories using their phones. And everything that we do, our entire workflow, from shooting to editing to publishing, is all done on our mobile phones. And this is kind of, we've been to 27 countries over the last 4 months. This is a mission statement of what #OurStories stands for and why we started it.
We're the next billion mobile users, and we won't be silenced. We're here to engage and inform.
Empowering mobile storytellers to bring about reform.
We don't need satellite trucks, and that's a fact.
Faster and cheaper than that.
Good storytelling has always been about more voices.
And mobile cameras simply means more choices.
With more angles, perspectives, and truth than before.
There's a different way of telling stories.
We need to explore. Let's not ignore traditional media success. But surely we're better than this.
Our stories are being drowned and the conversation has ended.
Truth and trust have been lost, but mobile storytelling can mend it.
Finding narratives in the noise, we don't need to conform. Let's identify languages be lost in the storm. See, a lack of media diversity is what's really affecting me. We talk about fake news, but don't listen to enough real views.
We know misrepresentation can lead to wars. So this is our cause.
#OurStories. What's yours?
So we've seen the decentralization of so many industries right here in San Francisco. You're at the very heart of the decentralization of the finance economies and the rise of blockchains and bitcoins. We're seeing decentralization of healthcare systems. And we're seeing a major decentralization of storytelling, especially in the marketing space. The idea that the agencies and brands are not going to be the first point of contact with the narrative that we want to share, but it's going to be decentralized and democratized. And it's going to be our audience that are going to be our greatest content creators. We were one of those 27 countries. We were in Palestine, and we were working in Ramallah with a group of young kids from the age of 4 that were effectively a community of coders. They were the 10,000 kids that are learning to code so they can create games, and this is a story we created.
I like Code Club more than school.
This is Code Club Palestine.
Our aim is to teach 10,000 Palestinian kids how to code.
You have a lot of freedom to do whatever game you want. Creativity is the limit.
I usually play games, but I've never explored the world of making games. It's a language.
It's really important to know how to talk or control our computer.
We have almost 100 code camps in Palestine, all refugee camps.
Girls are better than boys because they listen better.
Try scripting, try blogs.
You will learn creativity, you will learn problem solving, and skills that you will need for the future jobs. Palestine is still under occupation, so internet is our way out.
That video cost absolutely nothing to create. It was shot on a mobile phone for 30 minutes. It was edited on a mobile phone for another 30 minutes. And more so, we're training these kids how to tell stories so they can have a gaming community where they're creating video stories around gaming.
Yeah, but part of kind of understanding where these people are and where these different sorts of segments are is understanding social media trajectories. For example, in my family, my younger brother, for example, he's mainly on Snapchat and Instagram and on Musical.ly, Live.ly, those kinds of platforms. For us, Yusuf and I, we're using Facebook. We're using some Instagram and Snapchat as well, more Messenger, WhatsApp. And for our parents' generation, they're still using email and they're still getting the news and the information from newsletters and also a little bit of WhatsApp and Messenger as well. But it's all about understanding what these social media trajectories are and where these demographics and where people fit onto the timeline.
And also the migration between these. I mean, there's some people in this room that are kind of this demographic. not saying anybody hastily. But it's this idea that they're going to migrate, that the guys that are on Snapchat or Insta today will potentially migrate to become Facebook users of the world, that will become Instagram users. But there's also migration this way, that my father's generation that engaged with newsletters and WhatsApp are migrating backwards. He just opened a Snapchat account. It's kind of creepy. Then there's a slightly older demographic. There's the group of kids that are coming out of school and going into university, and they form that sort of middle patch of social media users. And they're very interesting. We met a group of university leavers that were coding games in Palestine as well. Effectively, this is a group of people that are trying to enter the fourth industrial revolution. They may be limited geographically and politically, but they have access using games to spread their stories, spread their narratives. And this is some of the stories that they're spreading.
The youngest game maker is just 7 years old.
These Palestinians are making a game about fake news.
I saved the floor from the cameras, which represent bad media.
These girl gamers are sharing their culture using video games.
I make a game about life in Palestine, how people suffered to go to the university.
And this guy got banned from the App Store for making a game about Gaza.
It's a game about the war in Gaza. It's based on facts.
This is Ramallah, Palestine. Welcome to Global Game Jam Palestine. You've got 40,000 participants across 109 countries, and they've got just 48 hours to make a game.
There's actually way more girls in tech here in Palestine than other places. Most parents won't prevent their daughter from studying technology, but they will prevent her from working.
I'm thinking again about ambulance.
This whole event is to encourage people to build video games to change perception about Palestine.
For Palestinians, making games is more than just a bit of fun. It's about sharing their story, sharing their narrative, and allowing people around the world to understand what it's like to live here.
This is
hashtag our stories. What's yours?
So this story, I mean, you've heard millions of stories about this part of the world and that Arab region, and it's often very negative news, right? It's occupation, and it's like, it's quite negative, negative, negative. We have great potential in the gaming industry to share solutions-based storytelling, to say, hey, here's a group of gamers that are changing their narrative. Here's a group of gamers that are transcending their physical and geographical limitations using technology, using games. One example was one of the guys in that video. He created this game, Leela, and it effectively was a game about the Gaza Strip, and it was based on facts and a sort of historical account, and it was banned from the App Store because it was felt by Apple to be, you guys, some of you might remember this story, it was felt by Apple to be a political sort of game, and they removed it. And it gained so much momentum online that eventually they re-enabled the game. And it got like 1.5 million downloads in the first few days with absolutely zero ad spend, absolutely zero boosting, absolutely no content created around it. It was simply a momentum built around a community that felt passionate about a certain story. So when you incubate these hyper local communities, you end up with quite interesting results. We fundamentally believe that the internet is getting a lot smaller. Back in the old days, we used to try and create one Facebook or Instagram account with 10 million followers. We believe it's now of more value to create hyper local accounts around specific interest groups, around specific games, and around specific interests and regions, so we can really have very, very, very focused campaigns.
Yeah, so what does this content actually look like on people's timelines?
Yeah, so the most basic form of video content that we see on social media, and I suppose this is the video of yesterday, is linear video, the straight out 1:30 or 1 minute package, God of War, sort of the advert that you would see in the theaters or somewhere, and it kind of looks something like this. I would do a piece to camera. Hey, video gaming is changing in an enormous way, and so is the way that we market these products. We now have access to all sorts of technologies that are fundamentally changing it. We have mobile phones, we've got wearable technologies, and we've got a group of incredible people here that want to learn more. So I spoke about mobile phones, all of you guys, so we get a shot of you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. We spoke about mobile phones, so we should probably get a shot of that. Yeah, don't tell everyone that you've got a speech. And we spoke about wearables, so let's get a shot of wearables. 1, 2, 3, and cool. Just to show you how easy it is for your audience to start creating content around your games, They could do it quite as simply as jumping into something like iMovie, or if they were on an Android, something like PowerDirector. And they would open up a movie like so, and they would start by just grabbing the audio like so, and they'd go create movie, and then they basically would overlay
hey,
shots.
Video gaming is changing in an enormous way, and so is the way that we market these products. We now have access to all sorts.
So all sorts of technologies. Maybe we'll show one of those technologies. We'll grab the glasses, for example, press the three dots, and we'll add the square, and we'll put it on top like that. And we'll continue down here.
Technologies, and we've got a group of incredible people.
People, and I'll show the incredible people. I'll grab the shot of you guys. Again, the three dots, like that. And maybe we'll add some music. We'll click on the bottom right. We'll say theme music, done, fade to black. And within a couple seconds, this is how easy it is for your audience to create content around your brands.
Hey, video gaming is changing in an enormous way, and so is the way that we market these products. We now have access to all sorts of technologies that are fundamentally changing it. We have mobile phones, we've got wearable technologies, and we've got a group of incredible people here that want to learn more.
Yeah. So it's so, so easy for your audience to become your primary content creators. But I think it's really important to provide them with the right materials to be able to do that. As a journalist, when I get a press release, the better the press release is the ones that come with lots of video assets, the ones that come with lots of PNGs, with lots of downloadable stuff. But those press releases are only being sent to the agencies and to the media houses. Why not open that up? Why not, when we're developing games, start sharing as much video content, behind-the-scenes stuff as possible with the entire world. Make links that anybody can download from, because effectively, my generation all want to be influencers. We all want to be have our own YouTube channel, and we can. And you guys can really tap into this if you provide them with downloadable content which they can utilize in their little videos at home. So when we're sitting in our underpants in our garage making our vlog, we've got some real substance that we can put behind our videos.
And it's so easy to create. You guys saw how easy it is just in a minute to create a really cool video. And everything that we do, because we need it to be easy and quick, is by mobile and for mobile. By creating on a mobile, by having our entire workflow on a mobile, it allows us to think like a mobile consumer is thinking. We're thinking about how we can really optimize our content for mobile viewing.
Absolutely. That's why you see a lot of vertical videos. And then that takes us to our next point, the stories format. Everyone's familiar with the stories format, which you see on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and even LinkedIn now. LinkedIn's getting sexy in some kind of space. It's still the least addictive platform. I can't wait to get on LinkedIn. but follow me on LinkedIn. No. So the stories format's really interesting. It's like 10 or 15 seconds, it's vertical, it's clickable. We've gone from this era where, for the longest of time, we've had lean back media, like Netflix, YouTube, even Facebook, you just sort of sit back and watch. The stories format, you're now leaning in, you're engaging with it. It's so interesting in the development and marketing of games, because it means we can effectively have people choose their own adventure. You could show them a bunch of snaps and you could say, hey, click 10 times to jump to this part, or click 15 times to jump to this part, or swipe up to go to our website. There's so many options now. It's become more interactive. We can effectively gamify the stories format, and even more so when we look at some of the lenses and some of the filters, and we'll talk about some of that later. But one particular example, I was working in India with rape survivors, young women that had been sexually abused and raped. In the Indian media, you're not allowed to show the faces of rape survivors in the mainstream media. They get alienated from their communities. They get thrown out of society. How would traditional media conventionally hide a face? How would you do that? You'd blur it out. You would, silhouettes. You'd show their hands. The stories format is so powerful a technology, and we can really look into that technology and find tools to do better storytelling. And one of those tools we're able to use, we're able to train these young girls to tell stories on their phones like we do in all these communities. We were able to give them the phone, and they were able to swipe through and find a filter that would hide their faces while allowing them to tell their story.
There are people wearing virtual face masks on Snapchat. Victims of sexual abuse in India are using them to remain anonymous so they can tell their harrowing stories without the fear of being recognized.
I was 5 years old when it happened.
लोग मुझे जबरदस्ती मैसूर लेकर आए मुझे एक कमरे में बंद रखते थे मुझे बहुत काम लगा वो टॉर्चर्स देते थे घर में से बाहर निकलने नहीं देते
इट्स इनक्रेडिबली सिंपल बट एज वी सॉ इनक्रेडिबली इफेक्टिव.
These face filters are getting really interesting. We are seeing a generation of our generation that are constantly masquerading behind face filters. For the gaming industry, it effectively means if we look beyond the gimmicks, we can see the powerful technology that our audience can dress up and wear whichever superhero, whichever gaming hero they want to be. They can effectively become part of the game very early in the conceptualization of a product. It's all about this idea of looking beyond the gimmicks of social media and finding the powerful tools to do better storytelling. Live is another fascinating space. As we approach, I mean, in here, you guys have got 100 meg line. It's like, for me, we live in South Africa. Yeah. We're still riding on zebras, apparently. But but 100 meg line is pretty impressive. And the point is, we're approaching 2020 and 5G internet. Incredibly fast data speeds. In places like here in the US, you're going to have an atmosphere where gamers are going to live broadcast every single part of their gaming experience, and probably every part of their entire lives. I mean, we're the generation that invented the toilet selfie. We overshare everything. In terms of the growth of the space, in terms of live streaming gaming, it's been astronomical. 2017, we saw a 343% growth in YouTube live streaming of gaming. Twitch, as you all know, 197% growth. This is a massive segment, the live streaming segment. It's playing a big part. And I think if we are going to get into the live streaming space and help create live content for gaming audiences, there's two real considerations here. The first is suspense. The idea that when I watch a baseball game, I'd say I don't watch baseball games, you guys do, but if I was going to watch baseball games, you don't know what's going to happen next. Even the guy holding the camera, the content creator, doesn't know who's going to win, team A or team B. And I think we need to embellish on that same atmosphere when we create live content around the gaming industry. The idea that us as the agency or us as the publisher, we don't know how this is going to play out. We don't know who's going to win and who's going to lose. So really focusing on that suspense. The second element is engagement. The idea that the audience are in control of the narrative, that their comments actually fuel what happens throughout that experience. The big difference between traditional media and social media is that we have a two-way flow. We have a back and forth, and we need to make the most of that engagement. So I think those two facts are really important. Also, the notion that we've been obsessed for the longest time, the biggest stumbling block that many of you have will have with our entire presentation is that it looks amateurish. The videos look crap. The audio is really shit. The videos are sort of handheld and shaky, but our generation don't give a shit. We are the YouTube generation. We've never been more forgiving of poor production values. All we really want is a real, raw, and authentic story. So for us, reality is the new quality. So moving away from this idea that all of our promos, all of our social media content has to be super polished, has to be super professional, and moving to a sense of reality. And then, of course, we have augmented reality. What you guys saw at the start, that little baby running around next to me, incredibly exciting space. Apple are investing a lot of money into this. They brought out the new iPad for schools, and the big play they're making is the idea that you can have an iPad looking down at a table and you can show all sorts of amazing things. Any of you guys heard about Eminem's AR app? Anyone? Incredible. Like, Eminem realized that the majority of his audience are watching the performances through a phone like that, right? So they thought, how can we make the most of this? Well, they developed an AR app where effectively when people hold up their phone to the screen, they can see.
It also has additional AR features that are only activated during Eminem's 2018 world tour. To access these experiences, do the following. Download the app.
So AR is going to play a bigger and a bigger part, both in live events, both in all sorts of spaces, but using your camera not just as a way of capturing the world around us, which it has been for the longest of time, but using our camera as a way of interacting with the world. If for the longest of time we've been using QWERTY keyboards as our input to technology, and then we've somewhat moved to voice with Siri, but sometimes I find Siri racist, it doesn't really understand me. And now we're kind of moving to a landscape where the camera is the input to technology. It's the primary way we will interact. Just in the last 24 hours, we've seen Snapchat develop a new tool. It's called Snappables. And what it is using your face and your body as a way to interact with games. It's really, really cool. That's pretty cool, right? It's a whole new world. Now, where is all of this going when we combine this? For this demo to work well, guys, I need you to do me a favor. Can you guys jump into my Facebook profile on your phones right now? So jump onto your phones and search YUSUFOMAR and go to my profile, not my page, which you'll see.
It looks like this.
It looks like this.
Constructive storytelling in the back.
And if you refresh the page, in theory, you should see a little version of me coming up in a few seconds. Tell me, guys, when you do, because I don't know what the fuck's going on in here. I'm totally out of it right now. The point is, let's see if it comes up. There we go. And there's me. Okay. So I'm at Promax.
A little bit.
Okay. So, guys, we've talked about live video. We've talked about augmented reality. We've talked about social media. We've talked about VR. We've talked about linear video. We've talked about all of these separate little formats. And they are cool. But as standalone devices, hey, who's Richard? Richard Churchill? Richard, hey, mum. I'm not your mum, Richard. Elizabeth Clare? Are you in the house? Hey, Elizabeth, how you doing? You're doing good? Kim Lee? Yeah. Hey, Kim. Good to see you. Good to see you. Thanks for coming. Okay, so the idea here, Ryan Douglas. What's up, Ryan? All right, Ryan. So the point is, guys, right now we've been talking to you about the audience using their mobile phones to create content, maybe using the desktop experience, providing them with all sorts of stuff. Yale Prague, is it Prague? Prague, okay, we got it. There we go. So their experience is gonna get better and better, and we're gonna see what I believe is gonna be an absolute perfect storm, where you're gonna see live video, augmented reality, 360, social media, all turned into one incredible space. It's all amalgamating in a perfect storm. Your audience will have the ability to do this kind of crazy shit at home. What it means is we need to then offer them something much greater. The simple linear video experience of putting an advert in a cinema or putting it on their timelines is not going to be enough. We need to look at how we can develop totally interactive experiences, because effectively somebody will be playing a game here through a headset. They'll be checking their emails over here. They'll be checking their WhatsApp over there. They may be having dinner or at least ordering an Uber somewhere over here. They'll have a whole bunch of stuff happening. And I don't think a 16:9 sort of edit of a video is going to cut it anymore. We're moving into a drastically new space. Matt Knowles, are you calling me hot? Or are you saying the presentation's on fire? I'm not sure. All right. I'm going to end this live. I'm going to click stop. Boom. And post. All right. The world is moving at an incredible, incredible pace. And as I go back to the point that we made at the start, we need to make sure that marketing and the development of the way we sell these products catches up, because we are really seeing this intersection of live video, 360, virtual reality, social media, all into one amalgamation. And we're not there yet. Not everyone's walking around with camera glasses on their faces, and not everyone has an Oculus or a virtual reality headset. But as this all comes together, the space is going to suddenly move really quickly, really, really fast. And when it does, it's going to be up to the ones that are ready, that have mastered all these technologies, because history has effectively always given us building blocks. And we need to consider all of these little platforms, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook Live, all building blocks for something bigger, for something better, for a new frontier of storytelling, which I hope we're already almost there at least. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video Helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekier-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.